Okay, everybody, we're gonna go ahead and get started. I think again, we'll keep hearing that little doorbell here for a little bit as folks join us. So again, want to thank you all very, very much for joining us this morning. Welcome to the Tallahassee Tourism Industry weekly Zoom meeting. And thank you so much for being with us today. It's great to see so many folks and love to see all the faces. I do certainly appreciate that. Housekeeping, I think, as most everybody knows, we've all been doing Zoom meetings these days to make sure if you do have background noise that you are muting your microphone. That is in the lower left-hand button of your screen. If not, we can do it if the noise starts interfering. But again, we want to make sure everybody is able to hear on these calls. So again, thank you for making the time to be with us today. Because as a community and as an industry, we are all absolutely in this together, and we will definitely get through this together, and we will be a stronger destination. But obviously, we're very much, very actively in the process of slowly and safely reopening businesses and our community and the state. So we certainly know that the COVID-19 pandemic is an economic crisis, and it's also a human crisis. As I do on all these calls, I'd like to take a moment to thank and acknowledge all of the healthcare workers, from the doctors, the nurses, hospital staff, the pharmacists, the EMTs, the paramedics. These folks are on the front line every day. But then we've also got the grocery stockers and the cashiers and the folks, the servers working in the restaurants and the cooks and delivery services. So make sure we're thanking and appreciating all of these courageous people, both from a healthcare standpoint and again from an economic standpoint, as we do start to rebound. As we know, this is a continually evolving situation on the national, state, and local levels. In Florida, there are now nearly 42,000 cases, adding more than 8,900 cases, new cases of COVID-19 since our call last week. And we've seen the numbers grow here in our own community to 266 this morning. That is up by about approaching 50 in the last week. And so we know as these tighter restrictions and the stay-at-home ordinance remain for two of the southeast Florida counties, Miami and Dade Broward, as the majority of COVID-19 cases in Florida remain in those two counties. But they are now actively making plans to start reopening as well as their infection rate is declining. So again, slowly but surely as a state, we are getting there. As I talked about last week, the governor released his phase one of the reopen Florida plan last week. And many restaurants here locally, we've all seen it, are operating at a 25% capacity inside, and lots of folks with the outdoor seating capabilities are operating with safe social distancing practicing and, of course, with tables at least 6 feet apart in groups of 10 or less. Museums locally are also beginning to open. Tallahassee Museum has opened. Tallahassee Automobile Museum is open. Some other ones are opening at 25% capacity. And so salons and are now open. So I personally am happy about that. And the doctors can begin elective procedures again. So again, slowly but surely, things are reopening. Many changes are happening and will continue to happen in our own community as we take these baby steps to reopen both our community and state. I truly believe that our county and city are working very, very hard to find that sweet spot between protecting lives and protecting livelihoods. And that will be a challenging balance for sure. But please keep in mind that we as an industry, we are certainly going to continue to learn and adapt our practices along this continuum to recovery to a new normal. And the reopening of our community certainly will be a phased approach, very much in alignment with the state, as I'm sure we're going to hear from Visit Florida, as we restarted our marketing strategies in a phased approach. I real quickly want to turn it over to staff to just briefly share a couple quick updates on what Visit Tallahassee, your Leon County Tourism Office, has been doing. So first, we're going to hear from Senior Marketing Director Katie Cole and then Amanda Heidecker with our Senior Sales and Sports. So Katie, take it away.
Good morning, everyone. Great to see you today and happy Wednesday. Just as Carrie mentioned, just a couple of marketing things that we wanted to touch on. Our team is really utilizing this time to do a little bit of list hygiene to make sure that all of our partners are accurately listed on visittallahassee.com. So to assist, we are asking our partners to review their listing on visittallahassee.com to make sure that all of your information, your address, your phone number, and descriptions are all correct. And if you have any edits, you can send them over to myself, to Scott Lindemann, or Renee Jones, and we're happy to update that on the website. We're also asking our partners to continue to provide updates on your business as you slowly start to reopen. We want to make sure that our COVID-19 consumer page is as up-to-date as possible with the most accurate information. And so hearing from you is very important. And then in addition to updates on your business, please also share any specific safety or health precautions that you are implementing. Promoting safe behavior is going to be a key message as we start marketing the destination again. And so we would like to hear from our partners about what you guys are doing. And then just lastly, a few housekeeping things. Continue to add your events, your virtual events on visittallahassee.com. We use these for our social media efforts and a lot of our efforts. So please continue to do so. Also, please, if you're not doing so already, follow us on Visit Tallahassee's industry Facebook page. So simply search Visit Tallahassee Partners and click join. Great resource there to share information that you have going on and also to hear from us. And then lastly, many partners requested the market research report that Joseph with Downs and St. Germain presented last week on the call. It is available on our website on the COVID-19 partner page at visittallahassee.com. So if you have any trouble finding it, just shoot me an email and I'm happy to point you in the right direction. That's all for me, Carrie.
Okay, great. Thank you, Katie. Amanda.
Good morning, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well. Another beautiful morning outside. So I just wanted to give a couple updates from the sales team side and what we've been doing. We did have a great meeting with the ownership company of the new Marriott Spring Hill Suites in Market Square. They're really excited about opening. He has a late August, early September open date. Obviously, he would love August, but maybe it might be into September. Depends on the construction and how COVID unrolls for them at this point. So we're excited for a new property. Seems really gung-ho, excited. Will be our first, you know, property on that side of I-10. So we're excited to welcome them into our market. Our team, sales team, and even the marketing team we've been participating in a lot of online training and certifications. Some of us are enrolled in some university classes. So we're really utilizing this time to better equip ourselves for the future and learn from the industry as best that we can. We've also been working really closely with staff, and we have a new grant management company that we've been working with. Their name is Wise Highs. We will be rolling out a new grant platform later this summer. So we're extremely excited about the usability of this for our grantees and the review groups within the Tourist Development Council and the Sports Council. And Katie mentioned this briefly, but I wanted to bring it back up. But we have a call to action for our industry. We would really love to hear about your success stories when it comes to health and safety. At your businesses, anything from fogging public spaces to single-use plastic, you know, single-use condiments. What are you guys doing? Increased sanitation. We really want to gather as much of that information to share it with everyone locally and then the visitors that are coming into our community. So we might learn from what someone else is doing really successful. So please, you know, share that information with myself or anyone on the sales or marketing team. We love to collect that stuff and really share some really big success stories. That's it for me.
Great, thank you so much, Amanda, appreciate it. As we certainly heard, certainly in this pandemic, we are all learning every week as every business, all of us on this call are adapting. So we're all learning every week, and these industry meetings weekly are provided to share learning, to share knowledge, and to share support for each other in our community as we do every week. We have several outstanding guest speakers with us this morning, and then we will open up the meeting to hear from you. So first on deck this morning will be Dana Young. She is the president and CEO of Visit Florida to share Florida tourism updates, consumer travel insights, and share highlights from their marketing plan framework. Next, we're going to hear from Kathleen Daly. She is the Associate Vice President of University Relations at Florida State University, to share updates on the COVID-19 impact of their operations, as well as to share some insights into FSU's future considerations, which of course are integral to our communities, both economic rebound and health and well-being. So last and certainly not least, we're going to hear from Stacy Welch with the incredible Backwoods Crossing and Backwoods Bistro restaurants, talking about some of their really cool new programs and a lot of their business adaptations as they expand their products and services. So first, we're going to start off with Dana, then we're going to turn it over to Kathleen, and then over to Stacy. So welcome, Dana. Thank you so very much for joining us in the meeting this morning.
Thank you, Carrie, and thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. It's really an honor to be able to be with you and tell you a little bit about what Visit Florida has been doing and what we will be doing to help bring our tourism industry back. I am from Tallahassee. I'm not sure how many of you know that. I grew up in Tallahassee. I went to Leon High School and then Florida State. So I have a sweet place in my heart for your wonderful city, and I have family that still lives there. But Tallahassee is a really special place, and we are just glad to be able to be here to support you and support all the amazing destinations around Florida. And if I have any single message for you this morning, it is that Visit Florida is here for you, and we are here for our state's tourism industry, and we will not let you down. We are not going to forget about the large destinations, the small destinations, and everything in between. We are here for our tourism industry. And what I'd like to do is give you an overview of what we've been up to and then the next steps with our marketing plan for the rebound and recovery. So first, let's talk about crisis and COVID-19 specifically. Visit Florida has been very active in our state's crisis response. We've been staffing the Emergency Operations Center. We've been constantly updating information to the traveling public, making sure that they have everything they need to stay safe, and communicating with our tourism industry businesses as they navigate this crisis. Carrie, you did a nice job of giving an overview of the governor's Safe Smart step-by-step rebound plan. And I'm here in Tampa right now, and I can tell you that it seems to be going well. Restaurants are adapting to the rules, and we have 7 areas of the city of Tampa that are closed to traffic so that restaurants can expand out into the streets. So they've erected large tents, and they have appropriately spaced seating outside. And one of the restaurants near where I live was saying that with that, they are close to 100% occupancy with that outdoor seating. So I just share that. Certainly Tallahassee has some areas that would be ripe for something like that. But anyway, so we are open. If anyone wants to read these executive orders, you can go to flgov.com/COVID-19, and all of the governor's executive orders are there, and the future ones. If you want to jot that down, you'll be able to read those for yourself. So that's really where we are right now. Let's talk about what Visit Florida is doing to bring visitors back into our communities at the right time. Our mission has never been more important than it is today. And as we continue to address the impact of COVID-19, one thing is exceedingly clear, and that is that the impact to Florida's tourism industry has been devastating. But we are, for better or for worse, no stranger to crisis. Through hurricanes, red tide, terrorist attacks, oil spills, you name it, we have been there, and we are very adept at responding to crisis events in our state. Clearly, this is the largest crisis that has ever hit our state, and in fact, the world. It is decimated the tourism industry around the globe. So at Visit Florida, we are going to be implementing a recovery strategy that will support all sectors of our tourism industry, and we will deliver visitors to Florida as soon as the stay-at-home restrictions ease and people regain confidence in travel. We are a resilient industry, and there's no question that people will travel again. They just need to feel safe doing so. There was a survey that came out, a national survey about a week ago, and they found that a third of Americans are ready to travel now, one third. But, you know, we'll be working with that third and the other two thirds to eventually convince them that Florida is where they want to be at the right time. And I continue to stress the right time, because we need to listen to our public health experts, our local, state, and federal leaders, and follow their lead on what we do to attract visitors. So Visit Florida's rebound strategy has four marketing phases. And we are in phase one now, and that is just positive messaging. I'm sure Visit Tallahassee has been doing similar, you know, positive, uplifting messages to keep Florida top of mind with visitors. We aren't actively recruiting visitors at this time. In fact, last week we had a Mother's Day spot on social media that was very sweet. Actually starred several of our Visit Florida moms, and it got a tremendous response. We also, on visitflorida.org, you will find probably the most definitive source of data on the COVID-19 impact to our industry anywhere. So it is a data dashboard. We update it every single day, and there is information on hotel availability, airline capacity, vacation rentals, all sorts of things. So I would encourage everyone to take a look at that. It takes a few minutes for the data to load, but it is a very useful tool. So phase one, we know that people are not really ready to travel, but they will be soon. And so our second phase involves all of us, because Floridians are going to be the key to our state's recovery. People are more likely to be traveling close to their homes. And so for the first time really ever, Visit Florida is going to be launching an in-state marketing campaign to encourage Floridians to take a vacation within the state of Florida. And we're going to be harnessing that state pride that Floridians have and encouraging them to do their part in our recovery by traveling within Florida, supporting our local businesses, large and small, and really getting to see some of the amazing parts of the state that maybe people haven't seen before. Get out and see, take advantage of some of the unique outdoor activities that don't require a lot of interpersonal contact and so forth. And you know, this is just a tremendous opportunity for people to, again, support our businesses and also get to know their own state. Living in a large state like Florida, there are great opportunities here for everyone. So that is going to be the key to our phase two, which will begin when people are ready to start traveling close to home. As we get into phase three, and we look to launch that probably June-ish, but it's all dependent on public health data and what the leaders want us to do, but roughly June. And once we start seeing a willingness of people to travel further from home, we will move into marketing phase three of the rebound strategy. This will be focusing on attracting out-of-state visitors and some international visitors who are comfortable traveling further away from home. Clearly, the global travel bans have an impact on this, so I can't give you specific timing. But our key markets are Canada, the UK, Germany, and Latin America. So these are areas that we will continue to focus on at the right time. During this strategy, we will be working on building partnerships with businesses that directly bring people to Florida. So think airlines, online travel agencies like TripAdvisor or Expedia, tour operators, those sorts of things. During this phase three, we're also going to be launching a marketing campaign for travelers who are most likely to travel in the near term. So we can try to get people into our communities as soon as possible. And finally, marketing phase four, which is certainly down the road, will be a long-term marketing effort from Visit Florida to not only retain our international market share, but to gain market share internationally, as many other states start restricting their marketing and contracting the areas where they market their destinations. We believe there's a tremendous opportunity for us to expand our market share in some of our key countries like Canada, UK, Latin America. So that is what we are going to be working on. When we get to phase four, we're going to be aggressive in our marketing to those countries, but that, of course, is quite a long ways down the road. But for now, it's time to really start focusing on our own Floridians and encouraging them to see the state. So that's just an overview of what Visit Florida is working on. And I think you're going to be excited to see the ads as they start popping up all over the place fairly soon. And thank you, Carrie, for having me on today.
Thank you so much, Dana. Again, really appreciate your time with us this morning, but I really also want to thank you for your tremendous leadership over the past year. You are unquestionably the right person, you know, at the right time and the right job to be at the helm of Visit Florida. So again, I thank you so very much for your leadership and for taking time to be with us today. Does anyone have any questions for Dana? I know she does have to hop off the call here, but is there anyone on the call or in the Zoom that has a question for Dana? Okay, well, hearing none, you can be assured that we'll be partnering with you all, leveraging certainly our buys and aligning our plans with you all, particularly in state. We think here for Tallahassee, we are very well poised with as our destination's product mix to hopefully be able to welcome a lot of Floridians up here to the state's capital. Because it's probably been since fourth grade, maybe since they've been here. But again, really want to thank you for being with us this morning. And thank you for all you and your tremendous team are doing. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thanks for having me. Sorry, I do have to jump off and get on another call here. But good seeing everyone. And stay safe. And we'll see you in person soon.
Great. Thank you so much, Dana. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you. That was great. Next, I'd like to welcome Kathleen Daly. So again, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Carrie, and good morning, all. I'm going to start with just a quick timeline of what happened to us and then where we are now. So as you all know, this is kind of review. The virus began kind of to spread in early March, and the universities were under the guidance of the Board of Governors, chaired by Sid Kitson, who did sit on the governor's reopen task force, and the governor. The universities quickly and, we think, seamlessly activated plans to respond to the virus in our area with two priorities in mind. One was to maintain the health and is to remain, to maintain the health and safety of students and staff, and the other is to retain the core academic mission of teaching and learning. Those are our two guiding principles throughout this whole thing, not only at FSU, but on a system level. So you'll recall that our spring break began the week of March 16th. So Friday the 13th was kind of our last day where students kind of took off and went to wherever they were going to go for spring break. Some went home and what else, what have you. And quickly after that, we informed our students while they were out that we would not have them come back to the community. At that time, we weren't sure for how long, and we implemented the remote learning platforms. It turned out that about a week into that activity, we made the decision, it became very evident that we would need to go ahead and continue with that practice through the spring semester. And so we encouraged our students to continue to stay in place where they were. At that time, our dorms, our residence halls were emptied out, but we said if some students needed to come back, they could come back to campus. But that they could not leave again. because we were trying to control the movements. And so we did have a few come back, and we did keep our dining facilities available to them for the spring. So when you stop and think about that, our students, and we have 42,000 of them on our campus, have been off campus and out of town largely. Some of them have come back now for the summer. Since that time, that's a pretty good economic hit on the community, that in and of itself. Once we continued through the semester and called spring, that with that cancellation, we canceled all the spring sporting events, obviously. Our spring commencement, which we have four of those over a two-day period of time. Another very devastating hit, I believe, to the community, as you all know. And then we quickly turned our attention to summer sessions A, B, and C. A and B started Monday this past week. So we made those decisions quickly and continued with the remote learning platform for those. We eventually did call summer C as well, which is the longer encompasses most of the summer, to go remote on that. So with that came cancellations of summer camps throughout the community, as Michelle knows, Personette. And we host all summer long, typically, camps on our campus, music and sports camps and things. So all of that was a very devastating hit to the revenue pot there for everybody. And so we are now, I will remind you that we do have another commencement scheduled for the summer that is to take place on July 31st. We are in discussion right now. We have not officially canceled that, but it's, you know, we're still discussing that. That's looking like that one's going to be tough to pull off in person. So right now we have turned our attention, keeping in mind the safety of our students and our faculty and our staff, and delivering our core academic mission. We're turning our attention to what to do about fall. Now, it's not just Florida State University. We are still under the guidance of the Board of Governors. In fact, the Board of Governors has put together a task force that includes representatives from every state university system institution around the state to try and tackle the big questions of how we reopen in the fall safely, what that may look like. And I believe, and they have calls every week. They get together remotely and they talk about what the challenges are and to a typical college experience versus the environment that we're now living in, and how we kind of meld those two issues, keeping in mind that we want to deliver our academics as best as we can and give everybody the experience that they're hoping for. So for us, just to give you an example, we are welcoming 6,200 freshmen into town, hopefully this fall. Typically, we put them in residence halls. We encourage them greatly to stay in residence halls their first year. We have enough beds to provide that to them, for most of them. That's a lot of kids in a lot of halls. They communally dine. And they take their classes, and they've got the size of the classes go up to almost 1,200 for a biology class that we have to conduct in Ruby Diamond. So you can kind of get the sense, and classes typically end all at the same time. And when they let out, the students walk around the campus and hit the streets. And it's exciting to be on campus during that time, but you can see that it's just a crush of students. So we're dealing with all of these challenges. The questions and the issues are endless. And we have not made a decision. We are we are desperately trying to come up with a plan that will work. It will be some sort of a hybrid if we do bring them back. We have to decide this and announce it by July 1 at the latest to give students and families the opportunity to make a plan. Right now we're looking at how many courses we have that have to be delivered face-to-face, and then how we would, where we would put them around campus. We're looking at staggering the ending times of class so that we don't have that mob. We're looking at delivering the rest of the courses to continue to deliver those on a remote platform that would be better pulled together, not as quickly as it was in the spring. So the platform would be enriching to them. These are all things we're looking at. Nothing is set in stone. I'm not telling you that this is going to happen or not going to happen because we just don't know. And the Board of Governors will weigh in on this. They're collecting all of this information. They may decide that some universities can do certain things and others in different areas of the state, maybe down south, might have to do something different. So we're waiting to hear. And that leaves a lot of unanswered questions, including whether or not, you know, football will happen. We're working on those kinds of questions as well and trying to see how we can make that happen. Again, there's some overarching institutions that weigh in on that, like the NCAA and the ACC and things like that. But we're working together, having those discussions. So all of that is happening, but there just aren't that many answers yet. We're working on testing. We're working on screening. We're working on contact tracing, putting together applications for those things. We know that that is a piece of the puzzle that has to happen if we bring back our students, even in a certain percentage capacity. And I would just say off as an aside, there are students in town right now. Lots of our students are taking their courses remotely, but they're taking it from their apartment in College Town because they had a lease that they couldn't get out of and couldn't sublet. And so these things happen. And so if you say to yourself, but I've seen students and they're down at you know, around town, yes, you are seeing students. This obviously up through March and projecting into August, the revenue losses for us have been substantial, like it has been for everybody else. We have benefited a bit, the students have benefited a bit from some CARES Act money from the feds for financial aid kinds of things. And that has gone directly to the students at this juncture, which is a good thing. We are keeping an eye on the general revenue estimates that come from the state. There are some dates coming up that we're watching. GR collection report for May with sales tax activity for April is expected to come out on June 25th. The governor has not received the budget that will take effect on July 1. He has time. He doesn't have to sign it into law until June 30th. And I believe, I don't speak for the governor, I don't even know what he's doing, but I believe that there's still some time to assess some of the revenue estimates and maybe what the feds may send. But that's a $93.2 billion budget that will take effect on July 1, and it is built, that was built and passed by the legislature under the assumption of sales tax revenues coming in on a monthly basis, which are obviously mostly fueled by the tourism dollar. So you can pretty much guess that there's going to have to be some reassessment of that budget later in the fall, I would imagine, when some harder numbers start coming in. And so we're watching that and waiting for the governor and the legislature to tell us what they're going to do. But that, again, we are reliant on state dollars to operate at Florida State University, to about 30-35% of our budget. And so we are watching that, and that is also going to be a pretty good impact for us whenever that happens. That is kind of my overview right now. I'm happy to take questions if I've left something out of the mix here.
Does anybody have any questions for Kathleen?
I do. Hi, Kathleen. Just a question about the timeline. You mentioned July 1st is kind of the deadline for making a decision about the fall. Do you think it'll be close to that day? Do you think you'll wait it out until right before then to make a decision?
You know, I think that we would like to try and make the decision earlier, because the sooner we make it, the better it will be for our students and their families. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we have all the information and that we're doing the right thing. So that's why we have set a July 1 hard deadline date. If we can come out with some information earlier, we will. I've seen a lot of things on social media with folks stating that we've said already that we're not opening. And I don't know where people are getting that, because we have not said that at all. In fact, we have put memos out saying that we are working on trying to see how we can open. So don't always believe everything you see on social media.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. Appreciate it. And I cannot imagine how infinitely complicated and complex it must be to even contemplating bringing, 42,000 students back and, 6,000 plus freshmen. And I just cannot imagine the myriad of decision points that are being contemplated. So again, I want to thank you so very much for being with us this morning. Of course, we generally care about the safety of our community and certainly, but boy, I tell you, we're all hoping, keeping our fingers crossed in some way. And certainly some sports can resume and have some colleges, whatever that level is. And if there's anything we can do, certainly be of any assistance, we're happy to do that. So again, Kathleen, thank you so much for being with us today. Really, really appreciate your time with us.
Thank you.
Next, we've got Stacy from Backwoods Crossing and Backwoods Bistro. They're doing some really cool stuff. And thank you so much for being with us. We need to unmute your mic so you can speak, because I see that you're muted right now. So if we can unmute that, I don't know, Deontay, if you can do that or if she's there. We
got it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Stacy, again, for being with us. I know you've got a lot going on, got some big orders coming in. So I know we don't have you for very long with us this morning, but we are so grateful that you're with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. So I have to apologize. Jesse is in the back. We got a 300-piece order for the Department of Emergency Services this morning. If anybody doesn't know, we've already partially opened underneath the government guidelines. We've done bistro at 25%. We've kept it even less than that, just for our guest safety and our staff safety. So we've limited it to a very spaced out bar area and their outside seating, which we can adjust daily depending on what kind of traffic they're seeing. Backwoods Crossing is hopefully, and don't quote me on this, going to be open on Monday for a very similar seating pattern, very limited inside seating. We're looking at expanding our outside seating to see if we can get more tables out there. In the garden area, which we are working on to accommodate more tables, because we are very much a family here, and so our staff and our guests are 100% our priority. So we are crossing and taking that extra time. We're doing some repairs, some remodeling, just so that we can fit this new structure of what a restaurant is going to look like for the next couple of months. to tailor make it to everybody here. If you've seen, we've also been dipping our toes into the drive-in movie area. If anybody here knows anybody that came, or any of you came to our first one, we are planning a second one. We're going to announce that probably tomorrow when that date. The first one went very well. Everybody followed all of our guidelines that we laid out. Everybody was very patient considering it was our first one we've ever done. If you came, thank you so much. If you know somebody that came, thank them so much. If they have any feedback, tell them to email us. That has helped. So just our farmers market, we usually do a farmers market in a normal operating capacity, like once a month maybe, and we bump that up, if you follow our social media, to every Saturday morning. It gets kind of crazy. The first 45 minutes are, you know, 100 people in line. So the farmers market has really helped us with all the excess vegetables. If you can imagine, we're used to cooking those on an everyday basis and getting them out in various dishes. And now we're harvesting and selling them at the farmers market as quickly as possible. So come out and visit us. It's every Saturday morning starting at 10 a.m. The line starts at 9, as crazy as that sounds. People are in the parking lot at 9 a.m. waiting for us to open. And we've tried to be as really active as possible on our Facebook pages. That Tallahassee Foodies group has been really essential to us getting out information to a larger group of people. And everything that we are doing, we are updating on that as regularly as possible. So it's just, you know, figuring out, like I said, what a restaurant's going to look like at these different phases of its opening.
So I thought the idea for the drive-in was genius. And so they pre-order from a menu, is that what they do? And then you, how does that work?
We actually, have brought enough staff back and have been able to keep enough staff with the to-go and the curbside that we've been doing that we had all of them come in, and we've had them set up to take orders. The cars come, people, one person singularly comes out to meet a staff member and puts their order in. But for this next one that I think we're going to do, we're actually going to try to do it more car hop style, where everyone stays in their vehicle even more, you know, limiting the grouping, and the servers are actually going to come to you to your car. As you park, you'll get a menu, and hopefully an assigned number and an assigned server. We're still working out the details, and that person will wait on you and give you that service and care as if you were a table in the restaurant. So we'll come to you.
That's terrific. I think that's so great. What movie did you show?
We showed, Jesse and I particularly really love older movies. Not from our childhood, not so old. We showed Indiana Jones, Raider of the Lost Ark, and I think this next one's going to be The Goonies.
Okay, good. You guys are doing some really innovative stuff there. I've been by to the farmer's market, and you were right. It's a mob. But obviously, you know, I mean, it's a win-win for everybody. And thank you for adapting. It's been really interesting to see how you guys and read how you guys have adapted your models and what you're doing out there. And it's just what, you know, particularly the crossing itself is just such a wonderful setup. So again, really appreciate all that you do out there. And I love the drive-in concept. How many cars can you accommodate? What's your capacity?
We kind of kept it at a lower amount for the first one just to see how it would go. I think we did 37. And I think we're going to be able to increase that by 10 for the next one now that we've got a better idea of how everybody will handle parking and things like that.
And then they find out online, they make their reservation online. Is that how they do that?
Yes. We got over 150 emails about the first one to to want to participate. We obviously didn't have the capacity for that. So we started a wait list to try and give the people that missed it by just a few minutes the opportunity for the next round first. So we've sent out a couple of emails with feelers about, you know, if that wait list is going to want to participate. And then once we have an available number after that, we'll advertise so that another round can email us for tickets.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, I definitely envision that as being extremely popular.
Yes.
As well. Anybody have any questions for Stacy? Okay, well, hearing none, again, thank you so much for being with us. And again, hats off to you and Jesse for doing such a tremendous job and being such a great partner in our community. We know every time when we have media in town, you bring them out to your place and they absolutely love it. And again, thank you for all you're doing and all the really neat programming that you're doing out there as well. So again, thank you so much for that and thank you for being with us.
Thank you guys so much. We really couldn't do it without everybody in Tallahassee pitching in to support local restaurants, all of us included. So thank you guys for letting me be on here.
Great. Thank you, Stacy. Really appreciate that. Again, thank you so much to all of our excellent speakers this morning. Again, really do want to thank you for joining us. I'll open it up now. Are there any comments, questions from anybody in the meeting, just about anything in general? Again, how can we support you? Visit Tallahassee and, you know, Leon County Tourism, how can we help you? Are there any comments, questions? Okay, anybody, again, you can hit your mute button in case you're muted, but I'd open it up again. Any questions or comments from the group? Okay, we're going to have another great lineup of speakers next week. Again, we have these calls, these Zoom meetings every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. So again, thank you all very much for being with us. Definitely check out Backwoods Crossing, the farmer's market out there. And again, definitely worthwhile. And just again, I'll continue to be safe and be smart, be kind. Know that not all four quarters of COVID-19 pandemic has been played. So continue to be safe, continue everybody's efforts to focus on the future. Because we know we are preparing, you know, just from our team to come back stronger than ever. So again, thank you for being with us this morning, and we'll see you next week. So thank you so much.